Providing a universal weekly payment would be less expensive for the government than eliminating the GST on food. Eric Crampton is a chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative. Eric says there's plenty of room for honest disagreement on economic policy. Normally it's about trade-offs among worthy goals, but some policies are stupid. He says completely stupid. And he's with us today, Eric. Thank you for joining us on Pakiwa. A warm welcome to you. Tēnā koe.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning to you as well, mate. Thank you. So eliminating GST on food, problematic or stupid? Why? Why does removing GST on fruit and vegetables create more costs? And what do you think might be a better answer?
Well, every tax review that has looked at this finds that whatever benefit you give to households by taking tax off of something out of the GST, like pulling food out or pulling children's clothes out or pulling books out, anytime you do this, households get a bit of money back in their pockets because they're spending a bit less on stuff, but it costs the government a lot more than that to provide that benefit because it distorts behavior. When the GST is clean, it's on everything, government can raise money very cost effectively and use it for all of the things that government wants to spend money on, all the things voters want. When you punch holes in it, it makes a bigger hole in government's revenues than it provides a benefit to households. So in the UK, they've got holes all over their tax system. A review of it found that if they got rid of all of these holes, like holes for some kinds of food but not others, and holes for other things, if you got rid of all of those and gave everybody money back so that they were no worse off, so that they had the same amount left in their pockets after paying all of their taxes, the government would still have $3 billion left to be able to do other nice things with. And this was over a decade ago. New Zealand is no different at all. Our tax review in 2018, so Labour commissioned a tax review, their tax working group. When they've looked at it, they said that taking GST off of food and drink would save a poor household about $14 a week. So when they rank households by decile, so the poorest 10% all the way up to richest 10%, households in the poorest 10% would save about $14 or $15 a week by not having to pay GST on food. But for the same overall cost to the government could give every household in the country $28 a week. So if your objective here is to try and get more money into poor households' pockets, it's better to keep the tax system clean and just give money to poorer people. Now, we can argue about whether that's the best way of helping poor households. I think that fundamentally we've got a horrible housing problem, and until we get that under control, it's going to be hard for those kinds of transfers to do as much good because landlords end up getting a lot of the benefit. Getting housing costs down would be the really most important thing. But if you wanted something more like just a straight cash transfer or leaving money directly in the pockets, holes in GST are a mess. It's far more cost effective just to give people money. And that's just assuming that it's easy to do this, to put holes in GST. It's often not easy. When you look abroad at the messes that they get into, you just wonder why anybody would want to do this unless they really want to make lawyers rich and accountants rich and lobbyists rich, because that seems to be the main purpose of these. So in the UK, they had 13 years of lawsuits over whether Marks and Sainsbury's cake counted as cake or confectionery, because that mattered for whether there'd be VAT charged on it or not. You would have lawsuits in Australia over whether a mini biscotti counted as bread or a biscuit, because they decided, well, basic food, we'll make that tax exempt, and bread, that's basic. But crackers, those aren't basic. Well, that's all simple, and like everybody's grandma can tell you whether something's a cracker or not, but they flew in an Italian bread expert to help them decide whether a mini ciabatta, a kind of a crackery bready thing, whether it was more bread or more cracker. And the tax tribunal, they ended up having four judges that had to decide on this because it went through court and then it went through appeals, and they ended up deciding that the mini ciabatta was of the cracker genus. Okay, so its inherent nature was more cracker than bread, so it was going to be taxable. But you're flying in experts from around the world to decide on this, right? And the point isn't that, well, let's make sure not to set a line between bread and crackers then. The point is, wherever you set that line, you're going to have lawyers arguing the toss and accountants arguing the toss, because everybody who's producing anything near that line will be trying to find ways to make sure that it falls on the non-taxable side of the line. Mm. So whatever you do, it's going to create a mess. It doesn't do nearly as much good for households as just giving them cash in hand for the same amount of cost to the government. It's a really bad idea.
Yeah, kia ora. Thanks for sharing that cordial. Eric Crampton with us, an economist, talking about taking GST off foods, fruit and vegetables, for instance. Look, I realised too, from a Māori perspective, Eric, that we're trying to get our people eating more healthy. And while taking GST off food for low-income houses is commendable, it's become something of a political issue. And, of course, it involves, as you've touched on, many bureaucratic layers as well. Also, while we're hoping that our people will eat more fresh fruit and vegetables to combat our tendency to eat highly processed foods, that's not a given either, is it? So if the ultimate goal is to get our households more healthy, you can lead the horse to water, you can't make a drink.
Well, yeah, and you also have to think about boundary issues there too, because I know that I buy a lot of frozen fruit and vegetables because it's a lot cheaper than fresh, depending on what's in season and what isn't. If you're only going to exempt fresh fruit and vegetables, well, then you're leaving out the frozen products that are just as healthy and often more affordable. But if you allow frozen in, then you're starting to allow bits of processing, and then you have to argue the toss about every next bit where the line might go, because canned vegetables can be just as good as fresh, right? But what about canned fruit? What about canned fruit if there's a sugar syrup in it? How long until you're into confectionery and jam, right, or fruit preserves? All of it is going to just buy heartache compared to just giving people money if that's the objective.
Tēnā, we've got a big push for this one from Te Pāti Māori. Do you think politicians listen about whether or not these ideas are, in fact, workable?
Well, they have listened previously, so every time this has come up, the Inland Revenue Department puts up its advice that says that this is a really bad idea. It would mean that the government is able to collect less in tax, so the government can afford to spend less on all of the things that people want, and it turns into an administrative nightmare. Minister Robertson, the current finance minister, has said before that it's a bad idea, that he wouldn't support it. It's too complicated, and it makes it too hard for government to raise revenue. These sorts of things have populist appeal. Like, they sound really easy on the face of it, right? You just look through the grocery aisle. Oh, yeah, that should be tax-free. That shouldn't. It's way more complicated, because you can't just decide tax on that basis. You have to have firm lines that are written. Somebody has to write it out, and then the tax department has to interpret what's written in the legislation. It all gets fiendishly complicated really quickly. That's been the experience everywhere overseas that's tried this kind of thing. If you were looking to get groceries more affordable, I'd be looking first at things that you can do to make it easier for supermarkets to open up. There's a bit of a roar here where zoning and consenting mean that it's almost impossible to open up new supermarkets. Making it a lot easier for other competitors to come in, that could be helpful. But otherwise, I'd be leaving that alone.